Alongside Wade Smith and Travis Johnson, I'm Jeremy Branham, filling in for the guys on Mad Radio, 713-572-4610. Just 20 days away from the start of Texans training camp, just around the corner, less than 3 weeks away. I've been going through a positional breakdown these last several days. We went with a quarterback with Clint Sterner. We talked a little bit about the wide receivers. I figured since we have Wade Smith in-house, we talk offensive line. I figured since we have Travis Johnson in-house, we would talk defensive line. I want to start with the O-line because we were talking about the running backs, Lamar Miller, Deontay Foreman. I feel like they're poised for a big season. Lamar Miller had a big season last year with no help behind him. I believe the help of Deontay Foreman will only help Lamar Miller have a better year. I feel like Deontay Foreman's in a good state of mind. He's in a good spot coming off the injury where I believe he's going to be a factor as a number two. I don't expect him to take over Lamar Miller's starting job, but I expect him to be a factor. And we had a good call from Jack. That might not mean Jack if you don't have a good offensive line in front of you. I do believe the 2019 Texans offensive line is more talented than the 2018 Houston Texans offensive line. You've added a first-rounder, you've added a second-rounder, and you added Matt Khalil, who hasn't been great for being a top-five pick whenever he was drafted and is still coming off an injury, didn't play at all last season. And you have development from your younger players. So I feel like there's more talent. It's going to be Mike Devlin's job to put all that talent together.
I think the biggest thing when it comes to the offensive line is trying to figure out what Matt Khalil is going to give you. And
if he's healthy, right?
If he's not healthy and he's not giving you anything, he's going to end up getting cut. I think that if he doesn't start, he's going to get cut.
I totally agree.
He's going to be the starting left tackle or he's not going to be on the roster. And it kind of depends on kind of how the Texans are looking at this season. Like, is this a make or break season for us? Like, do we need to put a guy out there that is a veteran that we can trust from the jump, or are we not so concerned about that and we want to put a rookie out there like Titus Howard and let him get his lumps? You know what I mean? Because, listen, historically over the NFL, the history of the NFL, if you're a starting left tackle as a rookie, chances are you're going to struggle. You're going to have to go through your growing pains, and that's something that you're almost – I don't know if you want to use the word concerned, terrified, whatever word you want to use. But
of course we want to use those words.
If you're a Texans fan and you're realizing that you got a left tackle that's going to be covering the blind side of Deshaun Watson, that makes you a little nervous. And so me personally, I would love for a guy like Matt Khalil to come in healthy to training camp, go out there, win the starting position, because him at his best is better than anybody else at left tackle on the roster. The problem is that there is nothing that is – we have no evidence that shows to us that Matt Khalil, one, is going to be healthy going into training camp, and two, he's going to play at the level that his potential is. You know what I mean? And so that's a huge domino effect. It's going to affect everything else that goes on with the offensive line.
I look at it as, what about, okay, let's say Matt Khalil is not healthy. Matt Khalil is not ready. He's going to have to shake up a lot of rust, even if he is ready by training camp. Your options at left tackle now become Julian Davenport, who was basically your starter there every game last year. And then, like you mentioned, a rookie in Titus Howard, and left tackles don't have great history in the NFL starting right away as a left tackle. And those that do were just, you know, otherworldly talents drafted in the top five. Like, even we were talking about it during the break a bit. You go back and you look at Dwayne Brown, a left tackle drafted in the 20s, had a tremendous career, still is having a very good career. It took even him several years before he got it going in the NFL.
Say that last part again.
Well, Dwayne Brown, a guy who in the mid-20s. He was somebody who he's had a really good career, but even he who had a really good career, it took him a while. It took him a couple of seasons before he turned into an all-pro.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When Dwayne first got here, he struggled his first year. He alternated off and on with Ephraim Salon as a starter. He struggled in ball games.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, people were down on Dwayne Brown early in his career, and that's like a normal occurrence when it comes to young offensive linemen. The fan base will be down on him because
that's the fan base not knowing.
Well, they just have to understand that the process and what it takes. It takes time to become a good offensive lineman.
No question. Not to cut you off, but I'll let you finish the story. But going back to his rookie year, I just remember how much. Like, the guys, like how you said Brandon Brooks came to you, those guys, they were always covering Dwayne. Like, they were always, you know, taking him under their wing, taking him here, taking him there.
The Chester Pitts and Ephraim Salam. Yeah.
Like, those guys really put a lot, and Ephraim knew it. Ephraim, like, this dude's way better than me. but he's just not there yet.
Right.
Because Ephraim at the time was 10, 11 years in the league, has started since he was a rookie, and he's been, like, Ephraim Salaam started the Super Bowl as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's you going back. Like,
and that was an old-ass Super Bowl.
That was
Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Back with the what was the running back's name?
Jamal Anderson.
Dirty Bird. Yeah, the Dirty Bird. That's a long time ago. Ephraim, I don't know if you listen to this, bro, but you old, bro.
Yeah.
You know, that's my guy. I could joke with him.
And right so you know, I think that was probably just going back to when he was a rookie, how it was beautiful to see, thinking about how they used to work with him. And yeah, they were interchangeable. They would play Ephraim for a series, then they would play Dwayne for a series, they play Ephraim for two series, play Dwayne. And offensive linemen, that doesn't happen. Because one thing is you always, y'all don't come off the field. For one,
you do not come off the field. If you're offensive lineman and you're a starter, you do not want to come out the game.
They don't come off the field at all. Like, I still remember Chester cussing out your boy for taking him out for one play, asking me, was he okay?
Well, who was my boy?
Sherman.
Oh, that's not my boy.
I know. Mike Sherman. Literally, I've never seen Chester curse before before this happened.
Because it was one play.
Chester never missed a snap before this play.
Listen, Iron Man.
Listen,
in Texans history,
I completely understand him. We played against Jacksonville, and I broke my ribs, and so I kept playing through my broken ribs. Right before halftime, like a minute left before the half, they had the ball. They said, "Let's go on in early so that you can get your X-rays, so we can check on this. We think it's broken, but we want to check on it." Jacksonville had the ball, so we like, okay, I'm not gonna miss any plays. We had our series. They had the ball. They turned the damn ball over. So I found out like halfway through the third quarter that we actually had run a play or two before the half.
You didn't even know?
No, I didn't know. I was in there getting X-rays. I was underneath the tunnel. I was underneath the
stadium. TVs or anything?
Not in the X-ray room. No. You can't have TVs in the X-ray room.
Well,
bro.
I mean, you can walk by the hall.
But if he's in the X-ray room.
Somebody might have told you at halftime, that last drive didn't really turn out well.
The conversation was about, we're going to wrap this up like this, cover it up here. Are you good to go? Those type of conversations. But I didn't find out till halfway the third quarter. Because I think Ben Jones came up to me. He's like, hey, man, I had to get in for you a little bit. I was like, you did what? I was like, you had to do what?
It's a kneel down. I understand. It's a kneel down. Yeah.
No,
kneel
down. They ran actually a play.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying, what you were thinking at the time, it was a kneel down.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, cool. Jacksonville, they were either going to try to score or kneel it down. But there was no way the Texans were going to get back on the field. And that's why I was like, all right, cool. I'll go back there and get my X-rays now. So, that like you said, it's important in the offensive lineman that – they get opportunities to stay on the field. They don't want to come out the field if they don't have to. But you mentioned, Trap, about the fact that, Dwayne had Ephraim and Dwayne had Chester, guys that will pull him on his wings, and Brandon Brooks had myself and Dwayne and Chris Myers. But who does Titus Howard have on the Texas roster?
Nobody. Not the same role. Cineo Kelemente.
Nick Martin. Zach Fulton.
Guys that don't want. All these guys are, with bad habits.
Hold on now. All these guys are
I'm just saying they're two, three,
maybe
years.
Maybe five years in the league, yeah, at the oldest.
I'm not taking a shot at him.
Martinez Rankin, he's a leader of men.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying they just have bad habits. Like, these guys are still learning to be pros as well.
Right.
Like, there's no pro in there. Like, Ephraim Salaam was a pro. Chester Pitts was a pro. You were a pro. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to have pros to teach you to be a pro. You can't just – it can't. And I tell people all the time, that's one thing the new CBA has done is killed that bridge. It's killed that bridge to learn for young guys and killed that bridge for them to be taught to be pros. So then the cycle continues down the line where he's never learned to be a pro, so how's he going to teach the young dude how to be a pro?
Yeah. I think the thing about it is with this offensive line is – I think the Texans are going to go into it and be conservative with their approach. And I think you'll know that they're being conservative with their approach when Julian Davenport ends up being the starter at left tackle. Because I think if Julian Davenport ends up the starter at left tackle, you know what that tells me? They're going to run it back up front. And so the same line that they threw out there last year, that's what they're going to throw out there this year. And we talked about the Rockets the other day, about them running it back. I think the Texans are running back too if you have Julian Davenport left tackle. So to me, the starting line is going to end. If I had to put money on it today.
Give me your predicted. Give me what you would do.
Okay, my predicted lineup would be Julian Davenport at left tackle. Senio Calamente at left guard, Nick Martin at center, and then Zach Fulton at right tackle and Shantel Henderson at right tackle. Zach Fulton at right guard and Shantel Henderson at right tackle. Okay. And that's running it back the exact line from last year. They'll just have more time
Henderson
working
will be
together.
Healthy.
Henderson will be healthy. And if you just run that line back out there, then that does fit your description of they'll be better than what they were this past season.
Still not good, but slightly better than the 2018 line.
Exactly.
All right, now give me what you would do.
What my predictive line is I'm gonna be optimistic about everyone's health.
The Wade Smith line.
So if everyone is healthy, then it's gonna be Matt Khalil at left tackle. I think it'll be Calamente at left guard. It'll be Nick Martin at center. It'll be Zach Fulton at right guard, and it'll be Titus Howard at right tackle.
Interesting. Let me tell you, like, I read too much into things. You guys know this by now. Whenever I went to minicamp, I noticed that Titus Howard was switching between left tackle and left guard, was not playing the right side of the line at all, was playing left tackle, left guard. Look, they were doing drills. It's a non-contact minicamp. You're not doing a whole lot. You're not in pads.
Right.
But he was only playing left tackle, left guard. Everything that he was rotating between was left tackle, left guard, left tackle, left guard. That tells me he's going to play on the left side of the line. Max Sharping, same thing. Right tackle, right guard. Right tackle, right guard. Nothing on the left side of the line. And my takeaway from that, and again, I read too much into things, was that Titus Howard's going to be a left side of the line player, whether it's a tackle or guard, and Max Sharping's going to play on the right side of the line, whether it's a tackle or guard.
That could very well be true, but I would say about both of those guys play the opposite sides of what you saw them practicing for their career in college, and to me, that could be just them getting up to speed and playing the other side because they know that they're comfortable. Like, they know Titus Howard is comfortable with playing right tackle because he's done it his entire senior year at Alabama State. And then the same thing with Max Sharping. He was a left tackle. And so putting him on the right side, it's like getting those reps so you can keep him up to speed. Because I think the Texans don't – there's only maybe one spot that is secure, in my opinion. Maybe two. Zach Fulton and Nick Martin, those two spots are secure. I think everything else is up in the air. And so with that being said, they're going to give their rookies every opportunity to take a job. Because if their rookie takes a job, that means that it gives them a head start on just starting their career, and it gets them out there early, getting those reps, because it takes reps to become a big time player. It takes you have to get out there and earn those lumps. And so I think that that's what's going to end up happening with the offensive line, is that they're going to give the rookies every chance to start. But I think that it's going to end up being running back from last year, just because it's very difficult for a rookie to come in and start in the NFL.
I was over here laughing because when I was in college, we used to always, like, the younger guys trying to get in the game. You know, you just say you just need more. We used to have a song like, need more reps. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we would start singing it loud, like, for the coaches to hear. And we would be sitting on, you know, when you're young, you're like, man, it's like, y'all just going to give me 7 reps a day? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you get two reps at the end of every period.
At the end of every period, like, but you want me to get better? How am I gonna get better?
You gotta get your reps.
I need more reps. You know, so we actually had a song that all the young boys would sing called "Need More Reps." But yeah, man, defensive line.
Yeah, what about the defensive line? It all starts. I mean, J.J. Watt, of course, is the big name there. But you have D.J. Reader, who's really coming into his own as a pro. He's been solid. Brandon Dunn's the other projected starter in the 3-4 line. When you look at the defensive line going into 2019, what are some of the takeaways you have, Trap?
Well, I mean, for one, of course, I think everything's going to go with J.J., going to go with when Jadavian comes in. And my thing is how Jadavian, Whitney, and J.J. are going to play this year. You got three guys who've all had 9-plus sacks in their career, all have had big years, all have had – well, you had two of them that have been to Pro Bowls, one that's hadn't got – Whitney hadn't been to Pro Bowl yet. But
he has not.
But
he got snubbed.
I think he was all
the year that he had 12 sacks, he should have won.
Of course, yeah. So, I think all of those guys are up for contracts, and I think that's a dangerous place to be. One, for an opponent, two, for the Texans, because right now they're gonna be scratching and clawing. We talking about need more reps. Everyone, they not coming out. They need more reps. Them boys out here trying to make examples of people. And I think when you look at Whitney Merciless, he's like, I'm auditioning for my next team.
Yeah.
To him, I'm auditioning for my next team.
The question is he getting enough run? You just talked about, I need snaps.
Yeah, he needs snaps. Because, and that's the biggest thing is, you're going to see we talk about selfish Kawhi, and I'm not saying Whitney's going to be selfish, and he's not going to be a team guy. But I've been on teams with guys, and I've seen guys in this league where they call you, drop back in the three receiver hook. He's like, hey, cover me.
He's going to turn around, get my back. I'm
about to rush the passer. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going forward.
I will say this. I think the fact that the longer that Jadeveon Clowney is out of training camp and
the more reps
that Whitney's going to get an opportunity to rush the passer. And I think that the first couple of games of the season are going to be big for Whitney, because if Whitney is the right outside linebacker rushing the quarterback when Jadeveon is out, or if he's, you know, playing that right defensive end spot on third down, if he's doing that those first couple of games while Jadeveon is trying to get himself back into the swing of thing, and he's successful and he's getting home two or three sacks and HOQs and batting balls down and being the active player that Whitney can be, then that's going to translate to him getting more reps even when Jadeveon is up to speed, and they might find other spots for Jadeveon to rush instead of moving Jadeveon around.
But, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, DJ Reader, another guy up for contract. I mean, these guys are – I mean, DJ might have one – yeah, this is year four.
Yeah, they're thinking
Yeah, it's time. DJ needs
DJ
to get paid.
Needs a new contract.
It's
year
time
four.
To pay them, man. Where's the bridge
shop?
What
them shoes said? Pay me, Rick.
Pay me, Rick.
Pay me, hey, Rick.
Who are you talking to now, though?
You ain't talking
There's
nobody.
No Rick. Hey. There's no Brian. Pay me.
Hey, he's going to put.
Someone. Anyone.
Pay me.
Pay me Texans.
Pay me Texans.
Pay me Texans. Texans organization. Hey,
or
just check, please.
Or just say, put an umbrella up there. Pay me umbrella. Everybody under the Texans umbrella I need. I mean, DJ Reader, he's up for contract. Like, this is going to be, it's a potential to have, it's scary, but it's exciting. Because when you think about all these guys who are up for deals, you're thinking, dude, this might be our last real chance. Because newsflash, guys, yeah, y'all like, well, JJ's got a contract, he's got paid. JJ see all his dough getting thrown out.
And it's not just football,
though.
Not
just football,
he's looking
though.
At basketball,
he's
though.
He's looking at all that.
I mean,
and he keeps commenting on
everyone. For a while, though.
Hey, it sounds good. JJ White.
Hey, he's under contract through 2021.
That's sweet.
2 years left on his deal, right?
That's 2 years left on his deal.
Didn't JJ re-up with 2 years left on his deal before?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's going to be 32
still,
at the end of this contract.
What does that mean?
He's still JJ White. Exactly.
I wouldn't extend JJ White yet.
You wouldn't, because you are rational. You are a rational thinker.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
But at the same,
said nicer things than that.
Hey, I don't know exactly what they are off the top of my head.
What's,
I don't know either.
I would think he said something.
What's a realistic season for JJ Watt? Sack total. Last year he had 16. I thought that was incredible. I thought he'd be closer to 10 to 12. I would take 12 right now.
He'll have 15 plus sacks this year. Okay. Listen. J.J. Watt, if you don't think J.J. knows that it's money out there, and this is the prime time. Like, J.J. right now, 32, you might be able to get 4 years out of him if you can get him real healthy. He knows if you tell somebody I can get 4 more years out of J.J. Watt, which would put him at, what, 14 years in the league?
I don't think it would be that long.
It'll be that long.
He's going into like 8 right now, right?
Is it? Oh, no.
He came in at 11, and it's 19 now, so he's going into 9.
He's going into 9 right now. So you say I get 4 more years out of JJ to put him at 13 years in the league. Yeah, I understand we got him under contract for two of those years, but we don't want a disgruntled J.J. Watt.
Mm-mm.
We'll put the city on two sides, and I promise you'll get behind J.J. Watt.
No question.
So
you know, most times cities don't get behind players. They'll get behind J.J. Watt.
Because to them, they look at it as, yeah, you paid J.J., cool, but he was underpaid on his first-round contract when he gave you 2 Defensive Player of the Year awards, when he gave you 2 20-sack seasons.
I'm all for doing that in baseball. Taking care of a guy who overpaid his contract in baseball because you don't have a salary cap. That's tough to do in the NFL whenever you're working against the salary cap. Man,
Slow down, Turbo. How much money do the Texans have under the cap right now?
Exactly.
The cap is not even. That's why people are upset
with what was not done.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. You got to spend it.
CBS says you got to spend it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing something like that. Where okay, Watt, well, we'll take care of you now, but you're going to give us a team friendly contract in the future, or do that with Clowney where you front load his deal. Coming up next, one Astro that makes this offense complete. And it's not who you're thinking. Next, it's Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610.